My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's time now to go beyond the headlines, and for the next 2 hours, go where every sports fan wants to go. Behind the scenes and into the practice facilities, locker rooms, coaches' offices, and press boxes to get the info before anyone else. This is the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Hey, you're dang right we're live.
You tell them, Kyle.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're live.
Yeah. I'm Kyle. He's James. We're hanging out with you until noon right here on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320. Shout out to everybody on the road listening on 1320 AM. We appreciate you. If you're listening on the free Odyssey app, we appreciate you as well. If you are in the car driving and you're going to have to get out of the car and maybe go into work, hop over to youtube.com/ESPN1320 or twitch.tv/ESPN1320. We are streaming live there as well. That's where all the magic happens in the Chatty House. If you hear us reference the Chatty House, it is the chat from our video streams from ESPN 1320 TV. So really appreciate everybody who is listening, watching. We thank you greatly on this Wednesday, February 7. Kings Pistons tonight. Trade deadline about 26 hours from now. We'll have plenty on all of that. But let's start here. Brian Windhorst on the Hoop Collective podcast. Mentioned Miles Bridges, the forward for the Charlotte Hornets, and has mentioned that there are several teams aiming for his services. There are a bunch of details there with how his contract works because it's a qualifying offer, and so if he's traded, the team acquiring him waives his bird rights, and so Miles Bridges and Rich Paul, his agent, they have the ability to kind of veto any trade, and they can just kind of pick where he goes. Let me just go here because, frankly, this is not for me a discussion of like, hey, should the Kings do this? They shouldn't.
No.
This is a big no. I don't get, I really like, this is sports. This is not, you know, world politics. This is not the United Nations. This is not anything that is affecting, impacting lives in that way.
Mm-hmm.
There's no amount of, for me, there's no amount of winning Miles Bridges could help the Kings do that would make the move okay for me.
I am in the same exact boat. There's no way under any circumstance that I would like to see Miles Bridges in a Sacramento Kings jersey. I don't want to cover him. I don't want to have conversations with him. It's, again, he pled no contest to some horrific domestic violence charges in Southern California, I believe. And then he's got another court hearing coming up because he likely broke the terms of his parole, of his probation. So, excuse me, his probation. He like, this is allegedly decided to throw a bunch of billiards balls at his former girlfriend or whatever she is with the children in the car, you know, smashing windows. And like, this is unstable. It's not, he doesn't need to be in the Sacramento Kings jersey. And for me, I don't think he needs to be in the NBA. Like, it doesn't matter. If you can play basketball well, that doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. There has to be a certain standard that you have to meet in order to play in the league. Mm-hmm. And to clear up what his contract thing, if you trade for him right now, mm-hmm. and they want stuff for him, like they the think Hornets. That, yeah, the Hornets, even though the Hornets are absolute trash as a franchise right now, they're not good at all.
They're bad. Ask their head coach.
Yeah, they are. Their head coach was very clear. They don't have any talent. And this guy's really, really talented. Don't get me wrong.
No
what
doubt.
He does on a basketball court, no he's
doubt.
Talented.
No doubt.
But, like, look, this is, he shouldn't even be really considered for the league. Like, you ran other players out who have done things like this, who can't get in, who just basically got jettisoned from the league mm-hmm. for doing similar things and nowhere near as bad. And for me, if you do trade for him, you don't even, like, it's not even a smart move because you don't even have, like, Larry Bird rights to him.
Yeah.
He has to accept any trade because mm-hmm. he signed for the qualifying offer and he has veto rights over any trade that gets brought to them. And that means that when he gets to you, so basically, if you're willing for a 35-game test drive to get dragged through the media for trading for this guy, and you don't even have him, it's not even like a long-term thing.
Right.
Like, what's what would be the reason?
And like that stain lingers forever. You're the team that, and that, like you said, it's not like Charlotte is going, hey, we need to, the Rockets with Kevin Porter Jr.
Yeah.
They were trying to trade him to get, like, somebody please take him. We do not want him on our team anymore.
Well, not only that, but they were trying to get out from underneath his contract,
right?
Which is
right.
what they did. They were able to successfully get out from underneath his contract, mm-hmm. which I don't know why you don't just violate his contract. Just say, look, you violated the terms of your contract. You're done. Mm-hmm.
Right. You're
but the
it.
Problem is that you have to go through a bunch of hoops to do that,
mm-hmm.
right? There is a like, you have to be proven. It has
sure.
to, he has to be guilty, all these things. And there has to be a clause in his contract.
Mm-hmm.
Either way, he gets traded to OKC. OKC waives him, takes a big hit for trading for him.
Yeah.
Then they waive him, send him out, and
they got like a pick back, right?
Oh yeah, they got picks for that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It came with picks.
And some cash, but there's not enough cash to make up for the $18 million you just basically flushed down the toilet.
So that's not what this is, though. The Hornets, according to Windhorst, are looking for a starting young player.
Yeah.
And a first.
Yeah.
Like I said, they could be attaching multiple firsts to him and being like, hey, we'll take a sec, and I would be out. Because I'm with you, man. I can't believe that after the second domestic violence incident came up that he's just back. He's just around.
I mean, he just spent a year out of the league.
I know.
A year out of the league.
And he just came back, and he's an effective player, and so naturally teams are going like, oh, hey, we could use a Miles Bridges.
Yeah.
Like, that's just gross.
Like, look, there are teams out there that can do that. But if you are the Sacramento Kings, who you have taken a lot of political stance as mm-hmm. Stances mm-hmm. as an organization.
Right.
Like, cultural issues, mm-hmm. like, all of the issues that the Kings have very much on the forefront of.
Mm-hmm.
You can't be that team. You just can't. You can't be the one
that
says,
acquires Miles Bridges.
Yeah, the one that acquires Miles Bridges. You can't say this is who we are, this is who we are, but we also do this.
But we could use some athleticism on the wings.
But we're also,
like, oh my God.
We're okay with this. And
yeah, I totally agree with you, man. I, you know what? This is my fault. I should have said this up top. The Kings weren't, like, named in this podcast as a team that is banging the Hornets' door down to acquire him. I think they are acutely aware of everything you just mentioned.
Well, that they also, this did get out that the Kings were one of the teams from Matt Moore a couple of weeks ago.
Right, a couple of weeks ago.
Yes, yes, yes.
And I imagine the backlash just from the community, from Kings fans,
yeah,
is enough that, because just based on the reaction I've seen on Twitter today, and the Kings aren't even mentioned.
No.
The reaction I've seen on Kings fans to this Miles Bridges news just coming out from Windhorst that there are teams calling about him, the reaction I've seen from Kings fans just off the strength of that has been intensely negative.
Intensely negative.
And if they... you'd have full-blown boycotts, dude. The Kings are just too tied to the community, to me anyway, if you're in that front office and you're looking, projected to be on the court, but then there's off-the-court stuff you have to consider, too.
Of course.
Like, that is 100% part of this.
Yes.
And if you're looking at the entire picture, there's no way you can go, hey, you know what? The Sacramento Kings, as entrenched in the community as they are, I have not been to all the NBA cities, so I don't know, but it sure seems like it, from an outsider's perspective, looking at the rest of the league, that the Kings are entrenched in their community as much or more than any other team in the league.
Of course they are. They're the only game in town.
Right.
Yeah.
So, I've not been to OKC or Memphis or whatever. I don't know. But I know the connection that this city has with the team. And if they go pull a move like that,
mm-hmm.
I just can't imagine that there's more benefit than cost.
Yeah.
I can't get there.
I don't understand. Well, and look, I'm hoping that we don't have to go down this path. That
I don't think we will.
I don't think we will either. We do have a trade.
Oh,
a minor trade. The Utah Jazz are sending Simone Fontecchio to the Detroit Pistons for a second round pick and Kevin Knox.
Huh.
Kevin Knox, who may or may not be in our projected starting lineup for tonight's game against the Sacramento Kings, will not play tonight for the Detroit Pistons. He has been traded to the Utah Jazz.
Great. Simone Fontecchio.
It's happening.
Fontecchio hit a game winner against Golden State. I think it was last year.
Mm.
The Warriors were up like 6 with 10 seconds left and lost in regulation. And I'm pretty sure it was Fontecchio that hit the game winner.
Yeah.
So he's got the clutch gene.
He does have the clutch gene. He can shoot, right? Like,
sure, man.
I'm intrigued.
Sure.
Well, the Kings didn't go get him. So
Kevin Knox is a player I'm going to be perpetually interested by.
But you shouldn't be?
Totally. It's wrong.
Yeah.
But every time he gets moved, I'm going to be like, hey, I like that. I kind of like that for the Jazz.
He's one of those guys that, like, if someone leaves a door open, he may get blown away. And you're like, where did Kevin Knox go? Oh, man, someone opened the front door.
You turned the AC on.
And he got blown away.
Yeah, just when he came out, I was like, dang, Kevin Knox, I like what he can grow into. And that's the thing is so much of when you like a draft prospect, so much of it is, okay, here's what they are in college, but here's what I think they can be in the next 5, 10, 15 years, whatever. I looked at Kevin Knox, and I'm like, man, he bulks up a little bit.
Can be always
play like a stretch five, like a small ball stretch five. Can shoot it a little bit.
Whew. I totally agree.
And then he's not a good NBA player, man. But I'm gonna believe until, what is he, 25?
He's young.
26?
Something like that.
Kevin Knox, a 24.
24. Yeah.
24. Fellow Leo. Maybe that's what it is. He's August 11th, baby. Maybe that's what it is. No, Kevin Knox is not that good of a player, but good for the Jazz and Pistons for getting the trade deadline kicked off.
Yeah, maybe they are. I mean, we have a little over 24 hours. We're like 25 hours and 47 minutes and 30 seconds.
Nice.
Until the NBA trade deadline.
Good quick math by you.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think, honestly, and we'll talk about this a little more later, I think the Simone Fontecchio for Kevin Knox in a second is kind of the type of moves we're going to see around the league. And we'll talk about why that is as the show goes on. We'll also preview the Kings-Pistons matchup tonight. We have plenty of that. And then, you know, on the way in this morning, on the drive-in, I got really, really excited about the Super Bowl.
Oh.
But there's one thing I really can't stand about it, and we'll tell you what that is as well. Lock into the insiders. We're here until noon on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader. Kings Pistons tonight. We'll talk about it next.
You're listening to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320 and 98.5 HD2, Sacramento Sports Leader.
All right, we got Kings Pistons tonight at the Golden One Center. At Golden One Center.
There you go.
I am weaning myself off of the.
The.
We're talking Kings Pistons. The Sacramento Kings are back home after a 7-game road trip. It feels like they have not played at Golden One Center in 10 years.
It's been a while.
A 7-game road trip is such a long time. Because that's not 7 days.
No.
That's minimum 2 weeks you're gone.
Yeah, I think it was 14 days, including the 2 days of travel. That's a long time to be away.
Gosh. And the thing is with the whole travel thing, they're not traveling like you and I travel.
No.
They're not racing to get to the airport on time, and they're not going through security and then sitting away. Okay, their flight got delayed. They're moving gates. They're doing this. They're doing that. And they're crammed into a middle seat. Their accommodations are fine, but 2 weeks of any kind of travel, even the cushiest travel on the planet, 2 weeks away from your bed, sounds awful.
Yeah, Kyle, and I think the other thing you have to remember is that they're not allowed to fly on game days.
Right.
So that means if you get done with a game, and you know, while we're back here watching a 7 o'clock start on the East Coast, and we're watching a 4 o'clock game, mm-hmm. right? Well, it's 7 o'clock there. They don't get done until 9:30, 10. They don't get on a plane until 11:30, 12. Then they fly to the next city. They get in at 2 o'clock, 2:30 in the morning. You know, sure, it's a 5-star hotel, but you're getting in the middle of the night,
mm-hmm.
and then your whole day is shot. You know, you're in a new city, and then you got to pick up and go to the next city. Like, there's a lot that goes into it.
Mm-hmm.
It's exhausting. I mean, still.
Yeah,
it's really nice, exhausting, and you know you can order room service or whatever you want, but I still think it takes a toll on you. And for people who are part of the travel group who mm-hmm. have to be gone, I think of Gary Gerald being away for 2 weeks, and I know he loves it still,
mm-hmm.
but that's a long time to be away, to be away from the family.
Yeah, not playing a violin and crying for anybody here.
Yeah,
like it's the rigors of the NBA schedule.
Yeah,
but the Kings are back at Golden One Center against the worst team in basketball, a team pushing to maybe be the worst team ever.
Mm.
The Detroit Pistons come in at 6-43, and you asked the right question. That first game back after a road trip is always tough. You hear it on any NBA broadcast. A team goes away for 3+ games. They struggle out the gate in that first home game. You're going to first game back home after a long road trip. It's tough. But the Kings get to play, I think, the perfect opponent for this spot. Because this is a team where even if you come out slow like they did in Detroit, you can still win by 30 like they did in Detroit.
Yeah, I totally agree. What you can't do is you can't come out like you did last time where you gave up 47 points in the first quarter and you look like you didn't know how to play basketball at all. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden you wake up. You need to come out with some fire. And this mm-hmm. is a team that's going to be mentioned a lot here in the next 24 hours with the trade deadline. We could get to game time and look down at their bench, and half of their bench could be gone.
Yeah.
Like half of their starters could be gone. Like there could be a massive trade that includes this team. Guys like Bojan Bogdanovic, who are like a bunch of teams around the league would love. Mm-hmm. Alec Burks. Like these are guys that, you know, might fill a role on another team.
Mm-hmm.
We could see a very weird, odd night. And the same could go for the Kings. Like, we could look over the Kings bench, and all of a sudden there's a couple of guys wearing regular clothes or sweats, and you're like, uh-oh, what does that mean?
Yeah.
We were there for the
Joseph.
When Corey Joseph gets traded, like, in-game,
mm-hmm.
and all of a sudden he, like, starts hugging people. We're like, what is happening?
Right.
So
hashtag hug watch tonight.
Yeah, hug watch.
At G1C.
Yeah. So I think it's a really interesting night, but what you can't do is you can't lose focus that this is the worst team in the league. You need wins. You're a good team. You're right in the top of the second tier below four teams that are tied. Mm-hmm. And if you're the Sacramento Kings, this is where you have to buckle down, be an adult, and go out and get a win against a bad team.
Yeah, so we always jot down projected starters.
Yeah.
for the game. So Cade Cunningham, mm-hmm. who is managing a knee injury and may or may not be in.
He's questionable.
He's questionable. You have Jaden Ivey.
Yep.
Former future King. You have it. Well, we had initially jotted down Kevin Knox, but he was traded this morning.
He just got traded.
for Simone Fontecchio. Yep. Got traded to Utah.
Which Simone Fontecchio will not be in Sacramento in time to get clear physical and yeah. be on the roster for tonight.
Yeah, so Kevin Knox's roster spot is gone. Bojan Bogdanovic, who is also questionable. And then Jalen Duren at the five spot. Who do you think fills in for Kevin Knox?
I'm going to guess Asura Thompson.
That would, you have to almost.
Yeah, I mean, he's your young guy that you want to see who he becomes, and super athletic, super fun to watch. You know, that's kind of where I would go, mm-hmm. but I don't know. I mean,
it is the Pistons.
Yeah, they are the Pistons. Like, who knows what Monty Williams is going to do, but I think one of the matchups here to watch is Jalen Duren versus Domantas Sabonis. I thought that the last time these two played, it was really, really crazy mm-hmm. and good. Jalen Duren is going to be an absolute beast, and he was a steal. There's no way he should have fallen into the number 13, mm-hmm. number 12, number 13 in that draft. He easily could have been a top five pick and probably should have been. Mm-hmm. And if he stays healthy, he's going to be a monster. And then the other guy is Bojan Bogdanovic, who has like historically just taking the Kings to the woodshed. I mean, he loves playing against the Kings. He's an interesting player, and he, like, for a team like Detroit, why you wouldn't go look to find him a new home, I'm not sure. I mean, we're talking about a guy who in April will be 35, and, you know, like, you probably need to go cash in whatever you can to get some first round picks, whatever it is that you can get for him. But he's a really, really solid player that would help a team like the Kings.
I think you have to start Asar Thompson, because I think Thompson and Cade Cunningham are the two pieces on this roster that I think you can legitimately build around. And Jalen Duren. I think Jalen Duren's a good player.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think if you're projecting out the Pistons over the next 5 years, it's Cunningham for sure. It is Jalen Duren for sure. And then I think Asar Thompson is that next guy.
Yeah, Asar Thompson. And then I think you also, I mean, you do have to look at the possibility that that Jaden Ivey develops.
I mean, yeah.
He does have a ton of talent. He's just, like, he makes a lot of mistakes.
It feels like the maximized version of, and he makes a lot of mistakes in part because they've been messing with his minutes. Like, he was just straight up not playing for a while.
Yeah.
And now he's back in the mix and playing big minutes for them, but I think the maximized version of Jaden Ivey is probably like a Malik Monk, Jordan Clarkson six-man role.
Hmm. It's very possible. I mean, you would hope that, you know, sort of they were hoping he'd be the better version, which is, you know, the next step is like Ja Morant,
mm-hmm.
like that crazy super athlete that can do all kinds of things, like crazy bounce. Mm-hmm. He just doesn't have the same movement that those guys do. And, you know, to be honest, it's really difficult for a young player to develop when he's surrounded by other young players.
Yeah.
And
other, frankly, bad players.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But a lot of top tier bad players.
a bunch of guys
with like a ton of athleticism and a ton of talent mm-hmm. who went in the top end of the draft. I mean, you forget that Cade Cunningham, first overall pick, Jalen Duren, top 13, Jaden Ivey, top five pick, Killian Hayes, top 10 pick, Asar Thompson, top 10 pick,
James Wiseman, top two pick.
Top two. And they had Marvin Bagley, which they already traded. Who was another top two pick.
Mm-hmm.
So this team does have a lot of those types of players that you just kind of sit back and you're like, how much lottery talent do you think you need? And the answer is less is usually better. Two, three.
Yeah.
If you can build around that.
Yeah.
That's fine, but we've seen the Kings do it multiple times. It's just super, super difficult to like hit on every single pick, but also if guys don't have defined roles like Keegan Murray has had in Sacramento, where they in year one his defined role is this, and year two they're expanding his role, but he's surrounded by veterans, he's surrounded by guys who know how to play the game, a bunch of high basketball IQ players. He knows what his role is. Most of these guys, they have no idea what their role is still, and if they don't figure it out by like year three, year four, then you're kind of lost in the league.
That's why I think what you said up top, where they could be a team that's super active here coming up to the trade deadline, which is tomorrow at noon.
Mm-hmm.
This is a team where if you're in their front office, you're identifying, okay, this player is somebody who will be on the team in 5 years. So is this guy and this guy. Everybody else can get jettisoned.
That's because the way you have to live.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. You can't just keep toying around. At some point you have to commit, and I don't know if they're going to do that this year. Maybe they do it in the offseason, but yeah, you just can't move forward with throwing old lottery picks, not old lottery picks, but teams' lottery picks that didn't work out, throwing them on the court and being like, maybe it'll work for us.
Well, that and Kyle, the other thing you can't do is you're too early to start adding veterans like Bojan Bogdanović or Alex Burks or Joe Harris or Danilo Gallinari, which is hiding on this team. You're too early in the process to actually do that.
Yeah, yeah. So the Rockets, I think, did it right. You let your young guys play for a couple of years, you figure out the ones you want to keep, and then you add Fred VanVleet and Dylan Brooks, and you try and make some kind of playoff push and start establishing that culture of winning. So we'll see what Detroit looks like after the trade deadline. We'll see what Detroit looks like next year, and we will see what they look like tonight. Keys to a Kings victory. We'll have that for you coming up in a bit on ESPN 1320 Sacramento Sports Leader.
You're listening to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320 and 98.5 HD2, Sacramento's sports leader.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Something weird happened in the association last night. Not something weird. Nothing weird necessarily happened. And by the way, when there is trade news, we will have it for you.
Yeah.
Right here on ESPN 1320. That doesn't just go for the Insiders with myself and James, but that also goes for D'Lo and Kenny, which is coming up at noon. They will hang out with you from noon to four. What?
I love it. You never make a mistake there.
D'Lo and Kenny, dog.
D'Lo and Kenny.
KC, no KC. No KC during Super Bowl week. We'll talk about the Super Bowl as well. But we'll have any trade news that comes down. We will have it for you here, breaking it all down with Kings Insider James Hamm. Of course, subscribe to the Kings Beat at thekingsbeat.com. You can also subscribe to the Kings Beat podcast wherever you get your podcasts. In the NBA last night, the Thunder lost.
Yep.
And the Timberwolves lost. That's not that weird.
Nope.
Teams lose. But what that did was the following. It put the Los Angeles Clippers, Oklahoma City Thunder, Minnesota Timberwolves, and Denver Nuggets into a four-way tie for first place in the West.
Yeah.
Technically. The Clippers are the number one seed. They're 34-15, which gives them a .694 winning percentage. So they are technically the number one seed. But then OKC, Minnesota, and Denver are all 35-16. That's crazy.
Kyle, it's crazy. And it also makes you wonder why you have to announce all-star starter so early when a team is the number one seed and you decide to give them two all-star representatives because they're the number one team. And then a couple of days later, they just happen to be the number three seed. I'm not saying that Minnesota is bad or anything, but like it's a flawed idea. The premise is flawed.
It's not that Minnesota is bad. Minnesota, I actually think I was wrong on them. They are way better than I thought they would be.
Yeah.
But the whole premise of, well, Karl Anthony Towns gets in over Domantas Sabonis because, I mean, they're the one seed. They deserve to have two.
Yeah.
What if they're the four seed? That's a possibility. They could, by the All-Star game in, what is that, a week and a half?
Yep.
By the All-Star game, they could be the number four seed.
Yeah.
Rolling in with two All-Stars under the reasoning of, well, they're the top seed in the West.
And their coach is coaching the All-Star game. Again, I know you got to have people.
I think Chris Finch is great.
Yeah, they've got to make travel arrangements and stuff like that. I get it, but it just seems like he kind of went a little early on this one.
I don't want to dive into the whole all-star snub thing. We all know we're all there.
Yep.
Just make it 15 player roster. Expand the roster. That's it. That's the solution. Or if you don't want to go to 15, which is the size of an NBA roster, go to 14.
Okay.
Do more. I don't think that cheapens it at all because you're already getting injury replacements and stuff. You're already probably getting about 14 or 15 guys who are all-stars every year anyway. It opens the door to allow you when Chris Paul says that he's going to hang him up, this is his final year, and you want to do a Chris Paul little farewell tour, and he's playing 6 minutes a night for the Magic, and you want to get him into the all-star game. That way you're not like necessarily it just makes all the sense. That's all. That's all. Because like you said, they have to announce him early. They got to make travel arrangements and this and that. But it's just, no, Minnesota, they get two. Well, obviously, Kat gets in over Domas because they're the one seed and the Kings are just a five. So Karl Anthony Towns gets in.
I have a solution.
Now they're number three by way of tiebreaker.
I have a solution. You do a 15-man roster.
Okay.
And you don't do an injury replacement unless two players are out.
There you go. Look at us solving the world's problems.
There it is. If you lose two, then you can refill the roster with the two.
Yeah.
If not, you got to lose two in order to break back in.
Yeah.
Because you can play with 13. I mean, they're already playing with 12.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know, man. I feel like this is something where we don't need to get into the snub, but
no.
Yeah, it just feels weird that a team that, again, you want to celebrate, like, oh, they're the number one seed, and now they're not the number one seed, and we haven't even got to the game yet.
Is there, how many games are there till the break?
The Kings have like 5 or 6.
The Kings, that they could, theoretically, the Kings could be ahead of the Timberwolves by the All-Star break.
Hey,
yeah, Valentine's Day. So they have 5 games.
Look at the standings. If all of those teams lose 5 straight and the Kings could be tied for first in the West if everyone...
with no All-Stars.
And with no All-Stars. Hey, we're tied for first in the West. Either way, that's why when a team is fifth... Now, the Kings are tied for fifth in the West.
Yeah, but okay, that's the other aspect of this.
Yeah.
So let's get out of the top four for a second.
Yep.
You have the Kings at number 5. A game up, tied with the Suns. They've played 2 more games, so they're a game up in the win and loss column. Or no, I'm sorry. They're game up in the loss column, game back in the win column.
Mm-hmm.
So they have a better winning percentage. So they're 5. The Nuggets, the Suns are 6. And then there's the Pelicans. A half game back.
Yep.
A game back in the loss column of the Kings at the number 7 seed.
It's really interesting. There's a 4-team block at the top and mm-hmm. a 3-team block that's the next group.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's separation.
Yeah. And then there's the 8-9-10, which is Dallas, the Lakers, Utah, and the Warriors are 11.
Mm.
And then the Rockets are 12 if you want to throw them in. And that's the next, I think, all of those teams, save for maybe Houston. So let's do Dallas, LA, Utah, and Golden State.
Mm-hmm.
And even Utah I don't fully believe in, but they do a nice job up there.
They did get Kevin Knox.
They did just get Kevin Knox. You're right.
Game changer.
But then you get Dallas, LA, Golden State, Utah, where, I mean, any of them could be the 8 through 11.
Mm-hmm.
Any of those teams missing the play-in tournament wouldn't surprise me at all. Any of those teams making the play-in tournament and winning and going on to play in the first round of the playoffs wouldn't shock me at all. It's funny. There's that really clear kind of 3-layer delineation.
Yes. It's very odd.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm going to guess that the Kings are going to, they're going to be in that middle group for a while,
mm-hmm.
but pushing to try to get into that upper group. All of these games around the All-Star break are really difficult. You play Denver 3 times. You play OKC again. I think you have a game against the Clippers. But then there is another stretch of games where, man, you got a homestand you could win. Yeah, like there's definitely some winnable stretches here.
Between now and March 1st, that includes the All-Star break. The Kings play, 10 games between now and March 1st. In that stretch, just to drive your point home, they have Denver, at Oklahoma City, at Phoenix, at Denver, at the Clippers, home Miami, at Denver, at Minnesota.
Yeah, that's tough.
That's what, 8 of the 10?
Yeah, so the Spurs and then the Bulls and the Pistons
the Pistons, yeah, so 7 group. Of the 10.
Yeah. But then, again, you get to that Bulls game on March 4th. You got Bulls, you got mm-hmm. Lakers, you got Spurs, you got Rockets who aren't playing as well. The Bucks are a really good team, but the Lakers again. Mm-hmm. The Knicks are okay,
The Knicks are good, man. The Knicks can play.
They are, but whether they're healthy or not, we'll see. And then you've got the Grizzlies, and we know what's happening there. We've got Toronto, which Toronto could look much worse. We've got the Wizards. You got a game in Orlando. There are a lot of winnable games in that stretch. So 11 games there where I could see them easily go 7-4, maybe 8-3. Hey, that's how it's the season is a game of runs, man.
Yeah.
And as long as you don't go 1-5 on a stretch or just completely fall apart and go 0-5 on a stretch here, I think that they've got a really good shot.
On December 30th, the Knicks, I'm sorry, I'm hung up on the Knicks now.
Yeah.
On December 30th, the Knicks got blown out by the Pacers 140-126. That dropped them to 17-15 on the year.
Okay.
At 2 games over. On February 6th, they are now 33-18.
Oh.
They've gone 16-3.
Well, that's pretty good.
That's crazy.
The same with the Cavs. I mean, the Cavs
are smoking hot right now.
Yeah, I think the Cavs are 14-1 or 13-1 over the last 14. Yeah, they've been really, really good. Yeah. So,
no, and I think that's where if the Kings are going to get up into that, so there's the three tiers of the West, right? There's that top tier, which is all tied for first and second place right now. And then there's the next tier down, which is that Kings, Suns, Pelicans tier that we talked about. And then there's the guys battling for the play-in. If the Kings want to get up into that first tier, I think this is where we're going to find out if they're even capable of it.
Yeah.
Because if you go Denver, OKC, Phoenix, Denver, and you go like 1-3 in those games, it's just kind of like, well, just a little bit behind.
You're going to be behind. Yeah. Yeah, but you could easily track down Denver. Like you sweep Denver? Okay.
Right. And that's the flip side of this.
Yeah.
That's where I think they can really make some hay, because if you go Denver, OKC, Phoenix, Denver, and you go 3-1 instead and beat Denver twice.
Yeah.
And then maybe go into OKC and beat them.
Yeah.
Now all of a sudden you're going, all right, hey, here are the Kings. They're now, they'd be 12 games over.
Yeah.
It'd be 12 games over. They'd be a couple games back of Denver, right?
Well, you're forgetting Detroit tonight. So if they beat Detroit, that would put them at 10. So if they go, no, you're right. If they go 3-1, that'd put them at 12.
Okay. Yep. I thought I had the math right.
Yeah, yeah.
Shout out to me for getting the math right. Yeah, so this is just a huge stretch for them. But I think if they're going to really, really, that to me would be a sign, okay, this is a team capable of hanging with any team in a playoff series. So, you know, fingers crossed, right? I'm not calling them championship contenders, but you just feel better about them than you had at any point this year.
Yep.
If they go 3-1 in that stretch, right? But we'll call it 4-1 because we'll call the Pistons too a win. So if you go 4-1 in that stretch, I still think you'd need one of those Knicks or Cavs type of runs where you go over 15 games, you go 12-3.
Okay.
Or something like that, where you really establish yourself, you really separate from everybody behind you, everybody around you, and you go make that significant run to try and get into the top like two or three seeds in the West.
Yeah, I mean,
because they haven't really had that yet.
Yeah, the big run.
That just sustained
where they have
15 game stretch where they just kick ass.
Well, I mean, you could be in it right now. You just don't know.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I mean, the Kings have, they've played extremely well.
6 of 8.
6 of 8.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So if you need to, I mean, you need to string it together, but that would be really difficult.
Yeah. But yeah.
Just because of the stretch ahead.
So if they win this one, they'll be 7 of 9. And then if they go 3-1 in the four after that, they're at 10 of 14.
Okay.
With a bunch of wins against the Denver, OKC, Phoenix, Denvers of the world. It's an important stretch, man. I know everybody's been saying it, but just seeing it now within the scope of what the conference looks like. And then there's the Clippers on February 25th.
Yeah.
2 days after, two days after the All-Star break ends.
Well, I mean, just looking at the Kings' strength of schedule for the remainder of the season is a 525 win percentage. It's the fourth most difficult strength of schedule in the league.
Man.
Yeah, that's not easy. And after tonight, it's going to get even worse. Once you get past Detroit, that's probably they'll have the toughest strength to schedule, I'm going to guess,
yeah,
remaining in the game. The Kings only have 33 games left.
Mm-hmm.
It's so wild, man.
And I think that's also a little bit of where some of the frustration has come with this team this year, is how many games that there have been there for them to win, or how many winnable games they've just not been competitive in.
Yeah.
Because, man, I'm just going to go back to, if you win that game against Golden State where Klay hit the game winner.
Okay.
You win that one. You split one of the ones in Houston where they just got smoked twice.
Or the Hornets or the Blazers.
That's later in the season. Yep. You had a couple more. There are so many games on this schedule where you look and go, they either could have won that game, or they didn't try in a game where they were the far superior team.
Yeah.
Blazers, Hornets, things of that nature. So that's, I think, where a lot of the frustration comes in for me this year. Is like, yeah, they're good. They're in the five seed. They're about where they were last year.
Mm-hmm.
You see improvements from these guys. These guys maybe, you know, Fox has been up and down lately, but Domas has really taken a leap, and you see the steps forward from Keegan Murray, and okay, that's all great. But, man, there is a really easy path to the Kings being like 15 over right now.
Yeah.
And when you look at the rest of the West, it's like that's a tough pill to swallow.
So Kyle, I guess the next logical question is who would you rather play? Like if you're the fifth seed, the Kings are the fifth seed, right? You don't want to play Denver in the first round. Just for my money, you don't want to play Denver in the first round, right?
I want no smoke with Denver. I think Denver is a team that they're 35-16 right now, but Jokic has missed a couple of games. Jamal Murray's missed some time. They have the vibe of a team that is going to look dramatically different in April and May and June than they do right now.
Well,
that's scary.
I would also point to, like, people are, oh, it's a good matchup. You know, you've played well against Denver. I would just point to what they did last year in the playoffs, where they went 4-1, 4-2, 4-0, 4-1. So they went 16-4 in the postseason. They ran over everyone. Yeah. It wasn't even really all that close. And so that's where you're like, hey, you should probably try your best to avoid that team. But I'm okay with OKC. Like, if there was one team I'd want to play in this grouping, I'd probably circle OKC because I think you kind of have their number. I don't want the Clippers matchup. That's to me, a really tough one.
Although, the Clippers thing is interesting because you don't want the matchup in a vacuum for sure. I don't disagree.
Yeah.
But what does James Harden look like in the postseason? Do Kawhi and Paul George withstand the rigors of a 7-game series? I think those are questions that, I mean, we can't answer until we get there.
And do they even make it to that? I mean, that's sure. That's always a question. Like, sure. What does Kawhi Leonard look like in game, you know, 84 after not playing even 60 for most of the last 5 years?
Yeah. So that would be my one thing with the Clippers. Like I said, if I'm choosing matchups, I'm not necessarily choosing them. But if the Kings get matched up against them, I think those are legitimate questions for LA.
Okay.
Going in.
I'm kind of okay with Minnesota too. Minnesota has a long athletic players. But the Kings have, you know, they split the season series. I know Ant-Man is become like the NBA like darling this season, even with a couple of weird missteps, like off the court missteps. But he is becoming like the media darling. And just for like sake of argument, like, you know, he's like a surefire all-star, right? You know, his stats aren't as good as De'Aaron Fox's.
No.
Yeah, they're just not. So, I mean, he's averaging...
When you watch him, the idea of Anthony Edwards is still better than actual Anthony Edwards at this point.
Yeah. And look, he's going to be phenomenal, and he'll probably lead the league in scoring once or twice in his career, or at least give it a really good shot. But we're really, I mean, he's not there yet, but he's already been anointed.
Well, yeah, you see the ascension, and then you see the it's happened a couple times this year, but the game against the Warriors where Draymond's chirping at him, and he's like, what are you going to do? And then Anthony Edwards comes down and scores like 12 points in a row and puts him away.
Well, that's what I'm going to do.
It's like those kind of viral moments.
Yeah.
And then you talk about his press conferences and the juxtaposition between him and then De'Aaron Fox being like, I don't even care about being an all-star.
Yeah.
And then Anthony Edwards, who went last year as an injury replacement, going, I don't count this. This doesn't count. I want to be an actual all-star. Like, those are the differences in, I think, being a media darling and being a really good player who maybe doesn't get propped up as much.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm intrigued to see, like, where this thing all ends up in a couple of years. I mean, especially, like, Fox is now like one of the league leaders in steals. He's up to 1.8 steals per game. Like, you're seeing him go, okay, wait, if I'm going to get skipped over, I need to actually, like, we need to win games, and I need to put my stamp on games in different ways. But yeah, I don't know. I would still, like, Minnesota, they haven't been there. You know, like, they lost 4-1 last season. in the postseason. The Kings gave it a much better run. Like, the experience level really isn't there for them.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm intrigued as far as a matchup. Yeah, if you had to play the Clippers, you had to play the Clippers, but I don't think I want any part of the Clippers just because they're playing really well. I don't know that I want any part of the Phoenix Suns just because
go ahead. Finish your thought.
I don't like it. I'm just going to say it now. I know that that's not going to be officiated evenly.
That's a good point.
It's just not.
That's a good point.
It's not going to get officiated equally.
Mm-hmm.
And so that opens a door for a team that might not be as good as you, but has bigger stars to actually beat you.
Yeah.
And that's a problem.
Yeah, I think that's probably right. On the other hand, Phoenix is not deep. Like, the Kings top to bottom are better.
Yeah.
And you talk about injury stuff with the Clippers. Are the Suns going to have all three of their dudes in mid-April?
No, it's a great question. And, you know, Bradley Beal's up to 27 games. He's on a list of like six players who have already been eliminated from postseason awards. Marcus Smart, Bradley Beal, Joel Embiid, I think, is right there. Kyrie Irving is already on the list. Like, there's a bunch of dudes who are already not eligible for postseason awards because they've already missed more than 17 games.
Man.
It's wild. Dang. But, I mean, look, I think the other thing is that 35-year-old Kevin Durant, it has to play 37 minutes a night right now for them to have a shot to win. And he's played 44 games. Booker's played 42. Like, these guys are, in order for them to win, they're going to have to play major, major, major minutes all the way down the stretch. They're relying on a guy like Eric Gordon to play 30 minutes a night, man.
I've never seen somebody who's a good three-point shooter miss so many threes.
He doesn't against the Kings, though.
I cannot remember the last time. I know it's happened, but in my anecdotally, in my headcanon, I've never seen Eric Gordon hit a three.
Wow.
It just, I swear, every time he lines up from 38 or however, he never shoots a normal three, too.
Yeah.
It's always above the break, 6 feet behind the line. Like, bro, take a step forward. Anyways, Eric Gordon. The good news for the Kings is they probably aren't going to have to play the Pelicans.
Yeah.
For the Kings to play the Pelicans, they would probably have to be the 4-5 respectively, and I just don't think two teams in that top four are dropping out.
It's possible for the Kings to go 3-6 and play the Pelicans, but if you're the Kings, like...
Who would you rather play? Here we go. New Orleans or Denver?
In the
first round.
Neither. Like, I'm taking Denver.
I get why. I'm taking New Orleans still.
Okay.
But I'm really, really big on Denver, and maybe it just is a better matchup for the Kings. But like I said, you're taking, this is going to be New Orleans or Minnesota?
Minnesota.
New Orleans or OKC?
OKC.
New Orleans or the Clippers?
Toss up, but I'd probably rather play New Orleans, even though you have had a couple of games last year where you beat the Clippers.
Mm-hmm.
The Clippers are just like, they don't just have long and athletic guys. They have long and athletic superstars.
Killers. Yeah.
Yeah. Who have done damage for years and years, and mm-hmm. Kawhi and Paul George. And,
yeah.
I think that would be a problem. Like, I'd rather face the Suns. Yeah. I would rather face the Suns than most of those teams. You know, because you're right, they have no depth, and like, their stars are having to play major, major minutes. And even like some of their role players, Eric Gordon's 35 years old, playing 30 minutes a game.
Mm-hmm.
What's that going to look like in the playoffs?
Yeah.
I mean, and it's not like he can stop anybody on the Kings.
Right.
So.
Yeah. I'm a big scoreboard watcher guy. I will look at the standings every day.
Yeah.
And I just think it's so fun. I think it's so fascinating. But the good news for the Kings is I don't think they're going to wind up playing the Pelicans. The Kings would really have to go some, or the Pelicans would really have to go some to make that happen.
Well,
where it is a 4-5 or a 3-6.
They also, at this point, they have 25 hours, 3 minutes, and almost 30 seconds.
30 seconds
to make a move that would let you match up better against the Pelicans and the Clippers. And that's why we bring these teams up. You don't have the players to match up against those teams. And even you can throw Minnesota in that. There's a lot of players you can throw. There are a lot of teams you can throw in that. Do you have the group that can match up? And I don't know the answer to that. Well, I do know the answer. As of right now, you don't. You got, 25 hours and 3 minutes and 2 seconds to do something.
All of the reporting around the deadline would indicate that there's not a lot happening around the deadline. Let's talk about what that means for the Kings. Let's talk about what that means for the West. And I'm going to the Kings game tonight. And there's something that I've never seen at a Kings game that I would like to see tonight. We'll tell you what it is next on ESPN 1320.
You're listening to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320 and 98.5 HD2, Sacramento's sports leader.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoop.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.